Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to the podcast. This is a curated collection of podcasts from our 2019 prayer and fasting season, and it's our heart that these will equip and encourage you to go deeper in your understanding of prayer and fasting.
Welcome to day two of our Closer Season podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Hillier, and today I have an exciting conversation with Pastor Corey Turner again. And we're going to be talking about what is prayer and fasting.
Excellent. Well, how are you doing with the fast, Stacey?
Well, it's real. It's day two. I know the first 3 days are the hardest and I need them over.
Yep.
Can we talk for a moment about whether or not coffee is legal? Because I've been justifying this in my mind that milk is cow juice. So can I have a latte?
Look, I think you do what you need to do to get through. I haven't stopped caffeine during the 21 days, but I don't think that there's enough milk in coffee to actually justify breaking the fast.
So. Oh, well, you're my boss, so you can have me asleep
or awake. That's the word. That's the official word.
Well, perhaps if we get into a bit of teaching today on specifically what is prayer and fasting, what does the Bible say about it? I read a great quote the other day from Andrew Murray, who says that fasting helps express, deepen, and confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And I think for me, you know, Jesus has so much both to say from a teaching perspective as well as modeling it in his lifestyle. That I think what's so important as we begin this season of prayer and fasting is that we begin with God's word, because as we know at Bridge, God's word is our foundation. That's part of our kingdom culture. And so we're not doing prayer and fasting because it's a philosophical idea or it's an idea that man came up with. It's actually God's idea. And in the Bible, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, particularly in Matthew 6, verse 5, and I'm just going to read a few verses. God begins through his son Jesus to address this issue of prayer and fasting. In verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then jumping across to verse 16, it says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast," there it is again, not if you fast, but when you fast, "anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." I really believe that in life we face practical problems, spiritual problems, that we feel very powerless to change or do anything about in our own strength. I remember a season of ministry where we just planted a church back in 2006 and we needed a facility to centralize all of our ministry operations as well as looking for a facility for our growing congregation. And we didn't have enough money. We were powerless in our own strength. We had strategized, we'd taken up offerings, but we still couldn't meet the demand. And so I arranged a meeting with a businessman who was a part of a company that owned lots of different property in the suburb that we were planted in. And I talked to him about the potential opportunity of securing a facility. He asked me how much money did I have? And I said, not much. And he said, well, I can't do much for not much. And so obviously I didn't feel much encouragement from him. He started to talk about the offices that we were meeting in and that he was going to vacate them in the near future. And I said, look, would you consider giving it to us? We'll look after it. It had boardrooms and about 13 offices. It had car park. We could centralize our early church plant ministry. And he thought about that for about 10 seconds and said no. And so I walked out just thinking, you know, what do you have to do? Where's the breakthrough coming, God? Well, we'd actually planned to go into 21 days of prayer and fasting as a congregation. And on day 16, the Holy Spirit spoke into my spirit and said, hey, I want you to go back and ask that man, he gave me the name of the man, ask him for the building again. And I said, but God, and I started to complain, and God said, but no, go and ask him again. And so after the 21 days, I took my business manager in to a meeting with him. I didn't even get to ask for the building. The general manager of this company pulled the keys out of his pocket, threw them across the table literally, and said, so do you want my building or not? And we occupied that space for 2 years, rent-free, did not pay a cent. We looked after it. God used it to begin to build and grow that church in its early days. It was through that relationship and through that season of prayer and fasting that we were actually able to secure a bigger facility, 2,000 square meters. We built an auditorium. Everything that took place in the first 5 years and for the future of that church broke through because of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is the nuclear bomb of breakthrough in the believer's life. And I think, you know, going back to the scriptures, there are three basic disciplines of every believer. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. So when we ask the question, well, what actually is prayer and fasting? Biblically, fasting is the voluntary abstinence of food for spiritual breakthrough. Now, I know that in recent days across Christendom, there's been opinions or ideology around different expressions or forms of fasting. Things like, you know, I'm going to fast Facebook, or I'm going to fast Netflix, or I'm going to fast chocolate, or whatever it may be. And I understand that it comes from good intentions, but this is why we've got to come back to God's word as being our foundation. When the Bible talks about fasting, it's not talking about those things. Whilst those things may help you to focus, and they're good things to put into place at times, the reality is if you are truly going to embrace biblical fasting and see the powerful effect and impact of that in your life, it needs to come back to the voluntary abstinence of food for spiritual breakthrough.
Right, and that's actually something I've heard people speaking about in previous prayer and fasting seasons. Hey, I fasted Instagram for 21 days and I didn't get my breakthrough. Yeah. So I love that we are actually equipping people with what the word says, what the Bible says, because it's the Bible that works.
That's it.
And it's God's word that works in our life. It's not how we've perhaps even amended it to fit our lifestyles. This is actually about laying our life down for Jesus.
Absolutely.
And doing what he describes in his word.
Absolutely. The scriptures are a plumb line. They point us to the realities of the believer's walk and how Jesus and how the prophets and the apostles in the New Testament have responded to Jesus' teaching. And in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it's really the greatest discourse of Jesus' entire ministry on kingdom living. What kingdom culture is, what kingdom living is. And as you've already heard, there's a large portion here that has to do with when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so I think it's so important going into this season that we understand that, we hear that, and we embrace that as part of the spiritual disciplines in our lives.
Absolutely. And let's pray that breakthrough anointing for a building is on our East Campus listeners and our
absolutely.
East Campus Pastor Luke. There's your breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, I just, I've heard so many stories of the incredible impact of prayer and fasting in individuals' lives. Pastor Cy Rogers is one of those people. Cy Rogers, for those listeners who don't know who he is a great man of God who has an amazing ministry of teaching and equipping all sorts of people, the body of Christ, but also in the secular marketplace around issues to do with sexuality and relationships. He himself came from a very broken background, broken family. Really struggled with homosexuality himself, was actually considering a surgery to actually change genders. And we understand the sensitivities around that, even in our current climate politically. and in our culture. And he did not know Jesus during that whole season, but he got saved and he had an amazing encounter with God. And he was in a church environment that really loved him and embraced him and accepted him for who he was, but also pointed him to who Jesus had created and designed him to be. And so he went on a journey where he said, hey, I'm going to do a 21-day season of prayer and fasting. And the testimony of what happened to him during that time is astounding. On the seventh day, he talks about having such a dramatic encounter with the Holy Spirit that he really felt that there were several dark strongholds in his life that were really broken off of his mind, off of his heart, off of himself physically. On the 11th day, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He grew closer to God and really has never looked back. Whilst there's, you know, he will talk about the residue of that season of and lifestyle of brokenness in his life, he's only grown stronger in God. And out of that came not just amazing ministry, but came being married and children and all sorts of things took place because he really saw the importance of positioning yourself for your breakthrough.
So good. This is one of the powerful things about fasting is that it declutters our spirits, it declutters our minds so that we can hear from God. And often more what comes up is what needs to go in our life, what needs to change in our life.
Absolutely. And I think in my own life, at times really, you know, wrestle with the busyness of life. And I know every listener wrestles with that in our culture.
Probably listening to us while they're doing something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. And there's so many distractions, particularly when it comes to technology and media, social media, movies, arts and entertainment, music. And then on top of that, there is the stresses of work and family demands. 21st century life is incredibly demanding. And so we need to take the teachings of Jesus and we need to take them seriously and prioritize them, but we need to look at how do we best express that and apply that in our current context. And as far as I know, when the scriptures say, be still and know that I am God, that applies to every generation. And so I've got to work through, like we all do, Stacey, the challenges of the busyness of our lives and go, where am I stopping? Where am I going to be still? And where am I actually going to know who God is for myself?
It's actually one of the gifts of the lack of energy that sometimes comes with going without food is that you are more still and you're slower.
Absolutely.
And you're available to hear more from the Holy Spirit and what he wants to say into your life.
Absolutely.
Fasting is not just a temporal thing. It's something that sows into eternity. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, Jesus, when he talks about the concept of rewards, he talks about emphasizing the right motive behind why we fast and not drawing attention to maybe how we look or how we feel through that season of fasting. But he talks about fasting to not to be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The reality is not only are there temporal rewards from heaven in this lifetime because of our relationship with God. John 15 talks about abide in Christ or Jesus quoting, abide in me and I in you and you will bear much fruit. We can expect that we will be rewarded with fruit in this lifetime, but also the Bible teaches the concept of eternal reward. And it's so important that you understand that fasting is sacrificing the temporal in order to touch the eternal. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is not just a temporary reality. Righteousness stays with you for all eternity. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, we are now the righteousness of God. But what prayer and fasting does, It builds this spiritual awareness. It gives us insight and revelation into our spiritual state that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that is not just our reality on planet Earth, but when our earthly tent perishes and we die, our spirits are still alive. There are eternal rewards. There are things that we are going to be able to point to and see. And more importantly, the fruit of the true riches of people's lives that we've impacted because of our own walk with Jesus. That is the greatest eternal fruit that we could ever point to in our lives.
I love that. And we're talking about something that people are doing in the private place, but because we're part of a body, then when we come together on our weekend services during a season like this or our closer prayer power services, then the way God can move in the public breakthrough is because of what's happening in people's individual private place. It's so awesome, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think people need to really capture the heart of fasting, that fasting is an invitation from God. And what I love about this passage of scripture is that God is actually interested in rewarding people. And he's given us a process, something that we can access in order to see more of God's blessing in our lives. You know, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. There is no better picture or example, illustration of diligently seeking God than prayer and fasting. And when you bring a spirit of faith into the practice of prayer and fasting, I'm telling you, you are setting yourself up for a significant breakthrough, for some significant rewards. Prayer and fasting is the private discipline that brings public reward.
So good. And we're talking about principles and lifestyles to live by. Another principle that in 20 years of marriage I stand by is that the way to a man's heart is through food.
Yes and amen.
I'm going there.
There'll be lots of support from this side of the table,
lemon
I tell you.
Lemon meringue pie is the way to your heart. Let's talk for a moment about the way to God's heart.
Absolutely. Well, I think prayer and fasting is about dethroning King's stomach. The reality is, if you just check out some stats online on Dr. Google about where our food consumption is at, unfortunately, Australia has a real challenge with food consumption, and that has an impact upon all aspects of our health system and our bodies, heart disease and all sorts of issues and sicknesses are a byproduct of an unhealthy approach to life. And when you think about the history of Scripture, way back in the beginning in Genesis 3, that sin entered into the human condition because of a disobedience around food.
Piece of fruit.
There you go.
Doesn't even make sense.
Who would have thought? I mean, you could have, you know, if it was lemon meringue pie, if it was a donut from Krispy Kreme, you could have rejected it. But fruit of all things, where we see that Adam and Eve actually rebelled against God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of their disobedience to what God had asked them and wanted for them, God wanted the best for them, they took matters into their own hands. They thought they were missing out on something, because one of Satan's strategies is to convince us that we are missing out on something, even in our personal relationship with God. And in this prayer and fasting season, the enemy might try and even convince you, well, you're missing out on food and you're missing out on this and you're missing out on that. But you've got to look past that and look at God's purpose and intention for prayer and fasting. What you may miss out on temporarily, you will benefit from and you will grow in and receive eternally and spiritually in your life.
Dethroning King FOMO right there.
There you go. The fear of missing out. Way back in the beginning, Genesis 3. And so then as you keep moving through the Old Testament, you have examples like Esau. In Hebrews 12, 15 and 17 in the New Testament, it tells us that Esau literally ate himself out of his birthright and the will of God, that he missed out on what God had destined for him because he was more concerned about the grumbling of his stomach than he was about his call to destiny. And I just think, you know, that the practical areas of our life, often we elevate over the spiritual and eternal dimensions of our lives. And I believe that in this prayer and fasting season, God is wanting to elevate our vision. He's wanting to build our faith, lift our focus. Life is more than the food you consume. and the practical everyday matters of your life.
So good. I'm going to have a word with both Adam and Eve and Esau when we get there one day.
Me
about
too.
Giving it up for a bowl of beans, hello.
Me too.
And for a piece of fruit.
I agree.
Not a cake. Let's take them some lemon meringue pie.
That's it.
They're going to love it.
Absolutely.
Heaven right there. Hey, I'd love it if you could pray for us. You've touched on in today's episode about the fact we have an enemy who's actually very aware of the fact that we're praying and fasting as a church and as individuals. So perhaps even if you could pray into that today.
Absolutely. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you that you've given us the key to breakthrough and the key to victory. And we thank you that we do have victory in Christ. And Lord, you've given us a tool to walk in a practical reality of that victory, and that's prayer and fasting. And for people today who are experiencing spiritual warfare, Lord, not just practically in their physical bodies as they're fasting, but Lord, maybe in their relationships, maybe it's in their workplace, or Lord, in the everyday personal areas of their lives, I pray today in Jesus' name that they would recognize and identify the authority that they have in Jesus Christ, that they would know that it's in the place and in the womb of prayer that victory is birthed in their life. I pray, Lord God, that like Jesus responded to the temptation of Satan in the wilderness, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, when the enemy comes to tempt us, to test us, God, I pray that we would not respond with, it's my opinion or this is what I feel, but we would come back to the foundation of your word. It is written that we do not live by temporal bread alone, but by every eternal word that proceeds from your mouth. I pray your spirit to encourage every listener today, build their faith, bring us closer to you, and we'll give all the glory and honor to your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.